The Word of God says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Today we continue to look at submission in the home. And today the Word of God turns attention specifically to our children and to our young people. And we need to go there with the Word of God. The Scripture's desire is that children would obey their parents in the Lord. Now, before we go further into this, I've given some nuances within this section of the book of Ephesians to try to remind everyone that what the apostle here writes is something that is relevant for all of us. You know, we've talked to wives, and hopefully husbands didn't go home and in the car say, "Did you hear that? Did you hear the way he was pointing you out?" And then the next week, two husbands. And we didn't need that banter in the car. You know, this week he got you. And last week we talked about the Christian family and marriage as that which points us to Christ. And today, as we see that the transition in this section transitions to being specifically about children, that does not mean that the rest of us can turn off our ears. The Scriptures here say that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. But that honoring of parents is not something that only belongs to the youngest here. As far as I know, each one of you is a child. Each one of you in this room has a parent or has parents, whether living or dead. We're all children, and there are, in various levels of life, ways that we are to apply this text, that we're to apply this commandment in our lives. So this is not only for the youngest. This is not only for those in catechism class. This is for all of the people of God to hear. And that's important as we look at this. We are all called to honor parents, and that honor will look different depending on our stages in life. You have honor that you owe to your parents if they're quite elderly, and that honor is going to look different than when you were 5 years old. But the commandment still remains. Now, what I want to do today is I want to look at the specific context of what the Apostle Paul is here saying. And within this specific context, he is speaking about the Christian home, isn't he? He talks to husbands, he talks to wives, he talks to children, and then he talks to servants, something that is quite foreign to us as a culture, but not to the Apostle Paul. So it's within that framework of those that are living at home, those children that are at home. And I want to speak to that because that is who the Apostle Paul is specifically speaking to, children who are living at home. Now, for those of you that do not believe that this sermon might have any application for you, I want you to realize that our children and our young people sit through plenty of sermons where in the back of their heads, they're thinking, "This is not for me. This is for my parents." But again, I want you to push that away. I want you to realize that when the Word of God is opened and preached, it's for all of us. The Holy Spirit gives application to our hearts and to our minds that is applicable to all of us. So I want ears open. I want us to be hearing what God would have to say to us today. And at the same time, I would like our children and our young people to pay special attention today. This may be a time where you open your Bible and you follow along. And it may be a time where maybe you don't take notes during preaching, but today may be a time where you open a piece of paper or you take out your bulletin and you take some notes within the margin to say, how is God speaking to me specifically today? So children and young people, I want you to pay close attention today, because here the application and God's speaking is specific to you. That's very important. I think that this is great because it shows us how important children were in the early church. In ancient culture, children were not important, but the church saw children and young people as important. That's why there's specific application given to you. We must remember that children are important in what God is doing in the world. Children are really important in that. Jesus even said to let the children come to me. He does not want children hindered from coming into the kingdom of God. God wants children and young people to hear Him speak. Now, young people, children, this is your church too. Okay, I know your parents bring you here. I know you come with your parents, and you might feel like so much of church life is centered around the adults in the church, but this church is your church as well. Christ calls you to be part of this church as well. And I want you to hear today specifically how God is speaking to you. What is God saying to you? I think there's three questions that relate to obedience that we can draw from this text, that we can consider as we think about this question. What is God saying to me today? And the first question that is specific for application to children and to young people here in the church is this: how do I obey my parents? How do I obey my parents? And maybe you've asked yourself that question. Maybe that question of obedience is a question that is on your heart. And here, the scriptures would want you to ask that question: how do I obey my parents? And the answer that is given in the text, as you see, is obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what do you think God means by that when He says to obey your parents in the Lord? Well, first off, the word obey helps us to understand something of what God wants from children and young people in the Christian home. He says, obey your parents. It's something that God is saying to you today. Now, you know that the New Testament is written in the Greek language, or you've probably heard that before. The word obey is a word that is made up of two other words. And we could say that that word is hear and under. So to hear under is to obey. To hear under. What does that tell us about obedience? It tells us that obedience is something that starts with your ears. Obedience is something that starts with your ears. Children, young people, are you listening to your parents? Are you listening to your parents? Are you listening to the instruction that they give? Are you listening to the directions that they're trying to give, that you may follow a certain path in life that all Christian parents desire, which Jesus calls the straight and narrow? Are you hearing as your parents are seeking to have you to walk that path? God requires you to listen to your parents. But hearing is not something that we only do with our ears. There's more involved to obedience than just hearing. And I'm sure that every parent here can attest to that. You know, something is said to a child to do something, you know, go pick up your room, empty the dishwasher, wash the car, rake the leaves, whatever it is. And sometimes the follow-up question is, did you hear me? Did you hear me? Now, it's a rhetorical question because the parent understands that the child heard the instruction. But the question is whether there will be obedience to the question. Did you hear me? Paul is not here just saying that he wants children to hear the words of their parents. He's saying he wants them to hear the words and then to walk in that path, in that direction that God requires of children. You see, this tells us that when we talk about obedience and obeying parents and seeing the Greek word as being to hear under, it is teaching us that obedience is not just a question of the ears, and it's not just a question of things that are outward. It is a question of the heart. It is a question of the heart. Disobedience is a problem in the heart. And that's where it begins. So what Paul is doing is he's telling children to obey, and he's saying that they must hear parental instruction and they must hear with their ears, but they also must hear with their heart. They must hear, children, young people, you must hear with your attitude. You say, Pastor Nathan, you know, who are you to push against me on this? Every one of us here have to check our attitudes. Every one of us here struggle with natures like unto the rest of us. We all struggle with issues of the heart. But it's important, as the scriptures here tell children, young people, teenagers, as the scriptures tell you to obey, what the scriptures want you to do is to realize that that obedience is not just outward conformity. It's not just hearing and doing so that your parents will lay off. It is a question of the heart. Is your heart right here? You hear under your parents. And you see, hearing under means that your parents have an authority that God has given to them. You are placed under authority that God has given to the parents. Now, every teenager has the idea that they wish that so-and-so were their parents. You know, oh, if that couple were my parents, my life would be easier or better, or I'd get along better, those sorts of things. We all have thought that, all right? So let's admit it. We've all thought it, and it's not true. God gives you the specific parents that you need to form you into the man of God or woman of God that He desires for you as you grow. And that's true of our littlest children. It's true of those in the nursery that are not paying attention right now. It's true of those that are our teenagers. It's true of all of us. God has placed us under authority when He gave us parents. And children, young people, your parents are for your protection. Your parents love you. Your parents are, Lord willing, training you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You have parents whose major job in life is to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that you will love Him, so that you will obey Him, so that you will submit to Him. So how should you obey your parents? You should do this with your ears, and you should do this with your heart. And hearing them requires that you listen. And listening means that it will result in doing the thing that your parents have asked you to do. Obey your parents. Young people, I want you to hear something else. The apostle here says, the Word of God says, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. You ever feel like it's hard to be a young person or a child because you just get bossed around all day? You know, parents boss you around, teachers boss you around, older siblings boss you around. Everybody's bossing you around. But here we see, obey your parents in the Lord. And that reminder is that parents have a boss too. And the boss of the parents is the Lord. The instruction of the Word of God shows the extent of the authority of parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. You obey your parents in the Lord. That means that parents are not allowed to ask their children to sin. It means that parents are not allowed to ask their children to do what the Bible says not to do. And that's important. It's important in thinking of the how do I obey. You obey because you want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You obey because Jesus has given them for your good. You listen and obey because of Jesus. Not because of them. because of Jesus. But there's another question that is raised from the Bible that I would like to talk to you about as well. And maybe it's one that you've asked yourself as you're growing up, and maybe it's one that you'll ask yourself more and more as you go from being one of our littlest to a middle schooler to a teenager and into high school. And that second question is, why should I obey my parents? Why should I obey my parents? And look at the end of verse 1, and then look at verses 2 and 3. Here the scriptures say, "For it is right." For it is right. And then it goes on, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And that's the answer. Why should you obey your parents? The answer is because it is right. It's right to obey your mom and dad in the Lord. And we talked some about listening and kids that do not listen, that end up in trouble. But if they stopped and thought about behaviors and stopped and thought about doing the right thing, you know, maybe you as a child or as a teenager, maybe you're rarely obedient. And if we could just pause your life, pull you aside and say, do you think it's right to obey? Almost everyone would say yes. Almost everyone would say yes. For it is right. You see, children and young people and teens, you know what is right. You know it's right to obey your parents. You know it is right because the Bible says that it's right. It's within the Ten Commandments, and the Scriptures tell us that those commandments are written on your heart. That means that everybody knows that it's right. It's a universal moral. It is right to obey your parents. And you could do the test. You could go to a school, like pick any school in the greater Orlando area, interview 100 students. There's one question: is it right to obey your parents? Unless there's a comment section for nuances, everyone is going to say yes. Because it's right. And God's Word says that it's right. God has written the law on the hearts of humanity. That which we've read, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. It is written on the hearts of every human who has lived. God has designed us that way. And I know that our children know this. Don't you? Children, kids, teens, young adults, you know this is true. It is right, and it's written on your heart. You can't escape it. You can't say, well, I've not gotten to Exodus 20 in my Bible reading yet. You know it's true because it's written on your heart. And then God also places it in writing in the Scriptures. God has revealed this truth. God has revealed this to you. Now, young people, again, I want you to think of a question. If God specifically said something to you, would you want to do it? Like if God appears to you and says, do this? Would you want to do that? Well, if it's God, you're going to say yes. I think even unbelievers tremble before the Lord. God has revealed that this is what He wants from you. It is right to obey parents, and God has revealed it. God has spoken it. I want you to think, as children and as young people, you spend a lot of time thinking about what your life will be like when you're older. You know, I want a car like Mr. Schaefer's. I want a big house. And I want to do this for a job. Like, we literally, as a family, played the game of life last night. It's a horrible game, by the way. And, you know, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a teacher, you just have a degree, you go a business route, you know, all of these things. And this is what children and young people think about. What you want to be. And if God were to come and specifically say, I want you to be this, you would dedicate your life to that. Young people ask me all the time questions about God's will for their life. Questions about college. Questions about marriage. Questions about career. These are on the hearts and minds of our young people. And they're asking questions about those answers to people that they can trust will give them good answers, or at least make them think through some of these things. I don't know where you should go to college. I have opinions on that. We could talk through that. But there's something that I know. And I know that God has spoken to you that He wants you to obey your parents. I know that. And there's this other reason that God says that children should obey parents, and it's a reason that is really awesome. And it's because we're told to obey your parents because it is the first commandment with a promise. Commandment 1, do this. Commandment 2, do this. Commandment 3, do this. Commandment 4, do this. Commandment 5, do this. And I'm going to sweeten the deal. Like, that is literally how it is presented in the Scriptures. And children and young people love promises attached to things that they are called to do. If you do a good job, you're going to get rewarded with this. If you clean your room, you can play 20 minutes of video games. If you work hard in this, you can borrow the car. And that sort of trade-off is something that is important in the minds of children and young people and teens. And as we grow even into adulthood, and God graciously has given that to you. Do this. And you are going to have this promise. You will live long on the earth. Now, do all obedient children live long lives? No. Do all naughty children die young? No. It is a proverb, isn't it? It's a proverb that says that generally this is how life plays out. And that's how the proverbs are given to us. Proverbs are it could be said, generally true statements. Now, the Word of God is true, the Proverbs are true, but the promises attached to them, as you look out at humanity, these are general truths. They're not always exactly as the proverb says in my life, but they're generally true. And the general truth of the proverb is that if you obey your parents, you're going to live a long life in the land that God gives to you. You see, generally, when children obey their parents, they develop good habits that help them live longer. There's certain things like about eating your vegetables and not going to college and, you know, drinking too much and not smoking. And, you know, there's all of these things that parents tell their children. And the Lord says, as a general truth, you will live longer as you obey your parents. But even when life is not long on the earth, you can be encouraged that those who are in the Lord will have eternal life. We will live long, eternally, in Christ. And that's a beautiful promise. It's a beautiful promise because sometimes children are taken away from Christian parents, whether miscarriage or death of young children or even death of older children. And parents have to process that. And sometimes they come back to this and this is not a comfort to them, but it ought to be a comfort. So two questions: how do I obey the parents and why should I obey my parents? And since it's still 4:10, we'll go into our third question that we see. What if I can't obey my parents? What if I can't obey my parents? And I'll tell you, as a young person, as a child, as a teen, that's sort of my question. What if I can't do this? Like, it's great to have the preacher telling you kids to obey your parents, and it's great to have the preacher telling you why to obey your parents, but the reality is that it's hard. It's hard. And what if I can't obey my parents? Some of you might be sitting here, young people, and you've heard this call from God to obey your parents, and you've heard the encouragement that this is the right thing to do, and you've heard that there is a promise connected to this commandment from God, and yet deep within your hearts, you know that you don't obey, and that you may not even want to obey, or you cannot obey. Remember that word honor is used in the commandment. Honor your father and your mother. That word proves that God's design for obedience is not just doing what you're told. It is doing what you're told with a heart that is pure and responding out of love. That word honor teaches you that obedience has an inside part as well as an outside part. And we've talked about that. Have you ever done what your parents told you to do? And within your heart and maybe under your breath, you grumble. You complain about that which your parents ask you to do. See, that is dishonoring to parents. It's dishonoring. It tells us that obedience is more than just doing what we're told. Obedience requires an honor. And dishonor is sin. You must understand this. Children, young people, as this is your question and you ask this question about what if I can't do it, what you have to understand and where your starting point is that you are sinners by nature. You sin. But your dad and mom are sinners too. Your pastor and elders are sinners too. We are all, every one of us in this room, sinners in need of a Savior. Each one of you and me are in need of the redemption that only Jesus Christ can provide. You will sin against your parents. And that means, children, that you will sin against God. If you understand that disobeying your parents is a sin against the fifth commandment, you will understand that it is a sin against God. And the response that the Scriptures call you to have is to turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Turn to Christ. And young people and children, I promise you that this is the greatest desire of every parent in this room. It is the greatest desire of every adult that loves you in Christ, is that you would turn to Christ by faith. It is the desire of the elders of this church that you would believe the gospel and that you would hold on to those promises of faith for eternal life. You must be found in Christ. You must trust Him. And part of that trust is this understanding that as you are made in His image and as you are raised even in the church, that being raised in the church is not enough. You have sinned against a holy God. And Jesus Christ offers forgiveness to children and young people and teenagers that disobey. I want you to consider where you stand before God. I want you to consider that when you do not obey your parents in the Lord, it is sin. And because of sin, Jesus Christ had to die. Think of your heart to your parents. Think of your standing before God. And I think there's different ways that young people respond to this. There's different hearts among our young people. And even in this room, there's different hearts. Some of you may have rebellious hearts. Hearts that are here. But if we were to open that and to expose that heart, we would see rebellion and hatred for God. Repent. Believe the gospel. But if we were to open other hearts here, we might see hearts that I call do-gooder hearts. Hearts that are maybe aligned with the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Do you remember the older brother? What's his deal? He always did everything he was told to do. He always did everything right. And when the father welcomes the rebellious son home, he rages. I have always done everything right. Some of you here, young people, have do-gooder hearts. And your hearts are oriented towards works. Your hearts are oriented towards, if I do this and this and this, then God will love me. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. You must fall to the feet of the cross and realize that all of your works, all of your good deeds, which are great, it's good that you want to obey, it's good you want to be a do-gooder in that sense, but those things will not make you right with God. You must bring your works before the cross and realize with the prophet that they are just filthy rags. They're nothing. So some of you have rebellious hearts. Some of you have do-gooder hearts. Some of you might have what I call Jacob hearts. A Jacob heart, someone that grows up in the church, lives their lives deceptively, lives their lives lying and sinning and going on, enjoying that life until that moment that Christ has to wrestle you and break your leg. That's some of your testimonies, isn't it? Some of you are Jacobs in need of wrestling with the Lord Jesus Christ, and your great testimony as a Christian is that you will limp along, and that limp will be a testimony of grace. The Jacob heart needs to be wrestled and broken. Fourthly, the fourth heart that I would see here, I call the messy heart. The messy heart is the one that just tries and tries and tries and is always failing and always failing. You believe the gospel and you mess up. You believe the gospel and you mess up. You believe the gospel and you mess up. You know, you clean your room and it's a disaster 10 minutes later. Just this is your life. You need to be encouraged. Little faith is faith. Messy lives that trust in Christ are in Christ. And some of you have messy lives, and I hope you figure it out. I hope you can clean it up before the Lord. But some of you just need encouragement. Rebellious hearts, do-gooder hearts, Jacob hearts, messy hearts. And lastly, what I would call the maybe later hearts. The maybe later heart is so common among young people. That heart that says that, yep, the gospel's important. Yep, church is important. Yep, reading the Bible's important. Yep, profession of faith is important. Maybe later. And the maybe later heart sometimes never comes around. Because later is always able to be put off, isn't it? There's a story in the presbytery that I was in before you called me to be your pastor, where in the 1980s there was a young man in one of the congregations who, you know, everyone liked, and you know, neat kid, but always was the heart that said maybe later. And there's a story about him right before a summer conference getting hit by a train and killed. What happens to the maybe later heart? Where's the comfort for the maybe later heart? For the maybe later hearts among us here, I want to remind you, and you might not believe this yet, but death comes too soon. maybe later, is not always going to be a possibility, because the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God will press and press and press and press and press. And if you're rejecting, 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 the Spirit of God may just remove and leave you to yourself. I hope that doesn't happen to any of you. Rebellious heart, do-gooder heart, Jacob heart, messy heart, maybe later heart. Will you trust in Christ to forgive your sin? Jesus says that all that come to Him and confess their sins will be forgiven. And Jesus even says, "Let the little children come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of God." Every one of you, hear the call of Jesus to come unto Him. The Scriptures say, "Children, obey your parents, for it is right. Obey them in the Lord, honor them." And this commandment has a great promise attached. You will live long on the earth. And if you are in Christ, dear children and parents and aunts and uncles and moms and dads and friends and members, if you are in Christ, you will live forever. Trust in Him, the one who was and is the only obedient Son, the one who lived perfectly an obedient life. Trust in this Jesus Christ who welcomes children unto Himself. Come to Him. Amen. Father, we thank You for the call to believe. We thank You for the children in this room, the young people and the teens, those even that when our children are baptized, that we make a promise that we will participate in their discipleship, that we will love them and come alongside of them. Lord, we long to see our children walk in truth. And we pray that even as this command reminds us that it is not possible to fully obey, that the application here would be applied mightily by Your Spirit, that even among our children and young people, You would revive hearts to such that the love for Christ outweighs their love for the world and self. Draw our children unto You. Amen. Let's stay.